Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Beautiful day. Actually, a beautiful week and a little bit of rain, but we need the rain. Without the rain, my dandelions won't grow. I've been looking at this research. By the way, some of the quotes going to be from this Pew Research Bulletin that they put out. It's a study that they made from 2007 to 2014. And you see some of the findings, and I will explain them. But I did make about 20 copies. But if some of you didn't get one or will not get one, let me know, and I made some more for you. What it was, these people, the Pew Research Center, they were about things that affect the public life and also things that affect the religious life of people. And then they figured, well, let's find out if there have been a change in the religious in the United States, how the people believe and what do they believe and how are the changes and what changes, and even some of the things that other people say the opposite. Hey, we're growing here, we're growing there. But most of those that are not congruent with this research is really for some religious type of schools. And, of course, they're going to say, we're doing fine, we're growing. But this is kind of neutral, so he doesn't change, you know, doesn't try to accuse anybody of anything or abuse the system or tell a lie. They say, this is what we find, and you can verify if you want to. But when I was looking and reading, I noticed it was 12 pages of it, 12. And I said, whoa, I can read them, but I'm not going to make copies because if it's 100 of you, that'd be in the thousands. So what I did, I just made a copy of the first one and what's up there on the back. So if you're interested, help yourself. And what brought me to research this is because I have noticed that a lot of young people don't care to go to church now. You know, they have other things. And I understand, you know, I look back at my youth, you know, I really didn't care either. You know, my parents didn't. They didn't go anywhere, so they didn't go, so I didn't go. And then the friends that I made, they just want to play and ride the bicycles and go swimming, you know, without permission, which I also did. But what I'm saying is, you know, the young people is use their life mostly to live their life and enjoy it and have a good time and don't worry about what's going on in the world because, you know, mom and daddy are going to provide food, going to provide shelter, going to provide love, and I just want to survive and make sure nobody abuses me. And you need friends because if somebody abuses you, you need somebody on your side. So all that's what happened with the youth. And as they grow, unless they change or unless they start reading the Bible and they have strong family values and Christian values, they really find it hard to be converted. And, you know, then they finish school, they find a job, and they don't even care to go to church. So we have people, according to this research, they have found that a lot of people in millions are leaving the churches, the different churches. I'm not just talking about the Church of Christ now. I'm talking overall because we are known as a Christian nation, right? Although we know that there are probably more people on the other side than professing Christianity. But some country, you know, that they are different values and they are known different. But so I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about self here. And we know that Peter and Paul and actually almost all the people of that time, the apostles of that time, they knew things like that was coming and it was going to be affecting us. And when I was listening to Brother Einhard's lesson this morning, I realized that it really goes into what I'm trying to say and what I'll be telling you about it. But first of all, go to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And just two verses, 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4. And he says, and of course, you know, this is Paul advising Timothy of many things. He had to be careful and let no one despise that youth. Stay strong, stay faithful, you'll be all right. And kind of give him some accolades. to strengthen his faith. And of course, he was a faithful person because he grew up with a faithful grandma and a faithful mother, and that helped him to become the man that he became, a person who Paul can give him missions and rely on him. But in verse 3, it says, Paul tell Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, we're really going through that too. You try to teach somebody, and I hear some people here that you know, have family members that you love, and you try to teach them, they don't want to hear it because they're already tied to their faith or tied to nothing. And therefore, they don't want to change their value system. They don't want to change their life. I don't have time for that. And he continued after sound doctrine. He says, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. So that's why you have these mega churches being so popular. Because they're talking about how to grow strong and how to accumulate money and how to defend what you have and how to have positive thinking, you know, all those, which are things that we like to hear. But we realize that if you deviate from what the Bible had to say, then we have to be careful. We don't live that type of life. Yes, we all like to be wealthy enough to take care of our needs and our family needs. But some people carry to an extreme, and then when they lose some of that money, they really go berserk and commit all kinds of errors, or vandalize, or thief, or do something worse. But what happens is it's paying, what is your point of view? For us, the Christian point of view, it should be to be Christ-like. And we studied how to be Christ-like, not only through Christ himself, but through what the apostles did to live a Christian life. And here is Paul telling Timothy, this is what I expect of you. This is how you will endure. Because there's other people, their itching ears listen to different doctrines, but I want you to stay straight to the doctrine of the Lord. And then in verse 4 it says, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So see, that's the problem right there. If you don't have the truth, if you don't have the truth, you don't want to believe the truth or give time to somebody who's trying to teach you the truth, then what do you have? Well, it says right here, you have fables. Man-made ideas, man-made philosophies, man-made religion. And, of course, we know that there's plenty of that. And some of them we put on the Catholicism, some of them we put them under Protestantism, and some of them we put them on affiliated, and I misspelled that word. It's supposed to be an I after the second F. But anyway, I was thinking of that. I'm thinking. Should I share this with the brethren, or should I just concentrate on one book of the Bible and talk about that? And he said, well, let me share this, because I know this is affecting all of us. It's affecting all. It's affecting our world. Especially here in America, is how the morals, the thinking, the philosophy that we have as being a Christian person is changing. And not because we want it to change, because the world around us changes. And sometimes we try to accommodate those beliefs, and we can't. We want to remain truth. And this is exactly what Paul is telling him. This is going around you, Timothy. It has gone around me, and I don't want you to fall for it. Stay strong in the faith. Because the good thing about Timothy, you know, his background, his foundation was strong. And that's what Paul is trying to tell him. Stay there, because people are going to mock you, people going to despise you, people going to abuse you perhaps with a language and say you don't know what you're talking about, things like that, but you stay strong, don't let those people, and some people might try to deviate you from what you believe to what they believe, and if it's an error, forget it, don't even associate with them, unless they're willing to listen to the gospel, and that's your duty to share with them. So I just want to start like that because I want to explain now what's going on in the world according to this research these people made. And you see the first one where it says religious group. 2007, that's when they started the study. And 2014, I believe it was September, when they finished the study. At that time, in 2007, the evangelical Protestant change from 2026.3 to 25.4. If we would have said 25.3, it's a whole percent that went down. A whole percent. percent, you say, that's not too much. But it is if you're talking about thousands of people changing their faith, not believing anything, or believing a group that called the gnomes, N-O-N-E-S, don't believe in anything. You know, so therefore, it does make sense, you know. You have a child, you love that child, if that's the only child the Lord give you, you're going to love him no matter what. But if you lose that child, then what you have? So, you know, this is how we should look at this. We have so many people professing to be Christians, but the fact that they not believe in the truth, although they believe a part of the truth, because they tell them, well, you know, as long as you believe in Christ, that's it. You don't have to do anything, just believe in Christ. Or if you're part of the 144,000, you're going to be saved. Or if you have been called and preselected, you'll be all right. But see, all those are false dogmas. We cannot believe those things because that's not what the Bible says. I was sharing with my dear friend John earlier about the Revelation, which talks about 144,000. And it's still what it says here, these people are saved. But then keep reading. He said, from the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000. And all you out of that, count 144. But I'm not from any of those tribes, so I'm doomed. If only those people are saved. Of course, we know better, because through Christ, everything is possible. And that's why he came to seek and save the lost, which we were part of, or our families were part of that. So consequently, what I'm trying to say here is that regardless of what is you see around us, we got to stay faithful. And here he's telling us a 1%. You get from 2007 to 2014, that's 7 years. Suppose that we, in that group, evangelical Protestants, suppose that every 7 years like that. You know, time passed fast. We no longer in 2014, we're in 2015. The last day of what month? May? Wow, tomorrow is going to be June. What happened to January, February, March, April, May? Adios. So I'm wondering, if this is the time, what's going to happen in 2021? Another percent? And if we're talking in the thousands, that's thousands of people going out of their religious belief. Even though this is kind of a denominational world that sometimes they teach error. I mean, a lot of the time they teach error. As a matter of fact, some of them don't even call themselves Christian. They call themselves something else. So therefore, you start thinking like that, you say, it means a lot to know that 1%. Well, let's go to the next item here. The Catholic. They went from 23.9% of people that believe to 2014, 20.8. Now there, you have a major drop of 3%. About 3%. So you start thinking, what happened to these people? Because, you know, the Catholics, even though they have some dogmas and some stuff, and they have even added books to the Bible, Brother Mark talked about this morning, the Maccabees. But in the Catholic Bible, there is a book called the Maccabeans. But that's not an inspired book from the Holy Spirit. That's just something that denomination decided to add it to the Bible. So people read and think that's part of the Bible, but it's not. No, the Bible has that, but the Catholic Bible has it. So consequently, when you teach out of that, you're teaching history of what happened at that time. But it wasn't like a persecution. It wasn't what the apostles wrote. So that should not be part of the scripture. So people adding to the point that now you have some denomination that profess to be following the Bible, but then they have something else attached. Like in the Mormons, the whole book attached. And I said, why are you attached that? You're not supposed to add or take away. Well, this is applied to us. And this is how we, and the Latter-day Christian, you know, the new revelation for us. What? So you have people believing like that and then confusing, because some people really want to learn and want to be part of being a strong Christian. And then they start dishing out money, you know, to help them. It's a lost cause. Because what your money is doing is getting people to believe in error. And sometimes some of the people don't consider it to be error. We know, because we compare what the Bible says, and if it's not in here, why are you adding something else? And if you have a right to ask something to that, why can't I ask something what I like? And that's what happens. Sometimes they got in places where they want to add things that look good, make them look good. Last year, the director of the school where I teach, he took about 10 students and went to a denomination. And the preacher was talking about the ability to heal, that we can heal, and brother so-and-so can heal, and sister so-and-so can heal, you can heal. And then the brethren kept quiet until the end. He said, anybody has any question? He said, yes, sir. How many have you healed? Well, I have the power. He said, but how many? I mean, and if these people you mentioned can heal, there's a lot of people in the hospital. We need them to be healed. Because they're spending money in medication and treatment, and days after day, this hospital is, you know, getting money for every day they stay there, and they need to get out of there. So let's go over there to the hospital. Let's go. Will you please, those people that can hear, will you follow me? Nobody stood up. So you know, it's kind of the mentality that they have, that they believe they can do it, but they can't prove that they're able to do it. And it's sad because it was an eye-opener to our students, because, you know, our students, they're learning become, hopefully, preachers. But in the meantime, they're exposed to things that they see is tangible. It's not the teacher said it or the principal said it. No, it is you saw it, you were there, and those people felt it. And you know what? They said to me, you know, Henry, when we left, he didn't invite us back. Of course not. You're lucky they let you in. So what I'm trying to say is sad, but that's what we're exposed to. And that's why these numbers are changing, because so many people is being deluded, you know, in believing other than the Bible, that sometimes people don't even know, really, what am I supposed to believe? Well, what did the Lord say? Nobody goes to the Father but through me. So therefore, you should believe Jesus' word. Nobody else's. Everybody else is just fallible like we are, but not Jesus. Okay, let's go to the next one. The mainline Protestant, 18 to 14. 80% of the people in the United States, I'm talking only about America, were part members of the mainline Protestant, whatever they are, whether they were Baptists or Methodists, or this, that's where they were, mainline. But guess what? They have declined to 14%, 14.7. So that's what, almost 4 points? Almost 4 points? 4 points means a lot when you're talking in the thousands or perhaps in the millions. So consequently, you know, it's affecting how people live. Now, what happened to those people? What happened? Well, I'm going to tell you. So slow down. I hear you. I'll tell you. Thank you. Unaffiliated. Those non-affiliated went increasing. They're no longer attached to any religious body, whether they are right or wrong. They went from 16 to 22. Oh, that's almost 6% increase. So those non-affiliated with any church have increased. What that means? The way I take that is that at one time they were part of a church. They were attending church. They were taking the family. They were supposedly, you know, adopted, even though that might be a denomination. But nevertheless, they were listening to some words, perhaps quoting the Bible, the preacher, because some of them do quote the Bible, even though they don't follow it, but they quote it. Well, guess what? That has increased. The other ones, the believers, have decreased, but now they're unaffiliated to no church whatsoever, have increased. Then you have the non-Christian faith. Who are the non-Christian faith? There's an asterisk there. But those are the Hindus, the Muslims, people from other faiths like that. And those people, see what happened to them? Well, you see it right there. 4.7 in 2007, 5.9. So at least 1.2% in 2014. That has increased. Non-Christian fair. In other words, those people that had no faith whatsoever, they're increasing. So it's hard for us then to talk to somebody about Christianity. They're not interested. Of course, sometimes when a person has a virgin mind, it has not been polluted by other ideas, sometimes they will listen because that's something new. But a person that might have been exposed erroneously or that never care, they might not want to be interested. But of course, we cannot judge that because we don't know everybody like that. But at least, we know that it's our duty to try. To try. That's all we can do. Try. It's up to them. But remember, we plant the seed. God gave it increase. So we don't worry so much about whether they want to follow you or not. The thing is, I expose you to the Bible, and it's up to you to believe. Because that's what the apostles did. They themselves didn't make a bunch of Christians. The Lord did. They just exposed them to the Word. Now let's see what else I have here. Oops. What did I do? Okay, I'll tell you that. Include the Muslims, the Buddhists, Hindus, and other world religions, and other faith. The source, landscape study, they started on June 4 and finished in September 2014, June 4 of 2007.
So that's what all this study is about. But I was just thinking about the other things that they say over here. And I was wondering, what is really affecting this? What is directly making these people to go astray or to go to other religions or to go to non-believer, a word that does not believe, or live in unbelief? Because sometimes people get bombarded by so many things. You know, it's like some people don't like to hear the news when you hear every day bad news, bad news, bad news, especially when we have soldiers, Americans, at war, and they tell you how many hundreds were killed or how many hundreds were taken prison. You don't want to hear that all the time, even though that might be happening. It happened in Vietnam, and it was happening in Iraq. But the thing was that you get tired, you get bombarded. And I think the same thing happened with some people that try to become religious, but they hear so many things from so many people. They don't know what to believe. They don't know who's right, who's wrong. They don't want to take time to study and scrutinize the Bible and learn it from the Lord Himself. So they don't join anything. They become an N-O-N-E-S, nuns. And that's affecting the religious world. Pew Research said Christian losses were driven by decreases among mainline liberals, Protestant and Roman Catholic. Mainline Protestants declined by about 5 million. See? Millions. To 36 million between 2007 and 2014. The study put the number of Catholic adults at 51 million, and just over one-fifth of the U.S. population, had dropped about 3% over 7 years period.
So what I'm trying to tell you by this statistic is this. We know the consequences, but I think there's other things going on. And that is those people that do not want to believe, that they're fed up, or maybe they were in a religious denomination at one time and they got tired, or they heard that they didn't agree with what they were saying, so therefore they got out. They don't want to listen to anything else. Even if you find a good Christian going to tell you the truth, they don't want to because they're fed up or confused. What happened to them? Well, they then form groups with other non-believers. They then become part of an alliance that now I'm going to oppose them. I'm not going to be neutral and let the Christian people be Christian, let the non-Christian be non-Christian, and let me the way I want to. Whether I want to be or not, that's up to me. So therefore, I don't even want to be part of that. But the problem is they are getting together, and then they start fighting what we consider should be taught in the school. No, don't teach religion. Okay, teach evolution. That's all right. But no, we talk about Christianity because that's for the churches. But see, those are the people that are fighting that. So therefore, you have young people going through school now believing, you know, we came from monkeys. And I hope I had a smart monkey on my ancestry because, you know, I learned a few things. But the thing is, we can't believe like that. But these people get together, then form groups, and then they lobby Congress to pass law to benefit them. You tax the same some church, or tax the same me, or tax the same my group. Because they want to be treated equal. But they don't want to believe in anything. Well, maybe themselves, enrich themselves. So that's what this group is doing. These people that somehow they feel themselves that they're no affiliate. And then they pass law that if I want to put the Ten Commandments in my yard or something religious, they fight it. You can't put that in this neighborhood. No way you're going to put that in there. I'm going to go to the court. I'm going to put you in jail, man. You can't do that. What? Things in Congress that have been there for many, many years from forefathers that have to do with God. Take God out of the coins. We don't believe in God. Why should it be in there? So you see what happened in these people got to the extreme now that they're really fighting society. They're fighting our culture. They're trying to change our culture. And that's the problem. That's the problem because we want our children as they grow to believe in God. We want our children at least to have a free will and to them to decide. Hopefully they decide positively. But not that somebody is trying to press them. This is the right way. Those people, you can't believe it. They're all confused. They're teaching lies. So stay away from them. Just join us. And that's what happened to that group. That's what happened to the, what I call the N-O-N-E-S. And those are the atheists. Those are the group that we call over here that was giving a class. Agnostics. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. And this is what the study shows. So if you take the page, try to see it and study the rest of God. I'm only showing you two pages. The one with the... We describe those numbers, and then the numbers that you see there is on the back. And then it tells you, you know, to continue on. This is just two out of thought. So the other 10 pages, I did not make copies. But it is interesting study. It is an eye-opener, and it's affecting our society. And that's what I bring it to you. That's what I bring it to you, because it's more than just come here and talk about what Paul said. It's important. As a matter of fact, tonight, I wanted to tell you what Jesus says about this, what Paul says about this, what John says about this, and who's the other fellow? And Peter, and you heard some of what Peter said from Brother Mark this morning. And that's the lesson for today, brothers. We have to be careful. Things, our society is changing, and it's changing our culture, the way we think. It ain't going to change us, because we're going to stay firm with the belief in Christ, but it's changing the new student. People get out of college with no religion whatsoever. People finish high school, you want to find a job, don't bother me, I don't have time for that. And that's how a lot of them think. And it's not in the hundreds, and it's not in the thousands, it's in the millions. And those people, as they grow and take part of society and become in position of decision-making possibility, how are they going to change it? They're going to change it to benefit them. That's how they're going to change it. Just like the millionaire changed the tax base so it affects them, and now 1 or 2% of our American culture owns over 99% of our funds, and the rest of us are struggling to make a living. That's kind of sad. But just think if that would happen to our society. We talked today in the class about Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit appeared to them and the apostles start feeling their mission, their eyes and their mind were open to tell the people what to do. And Peter, in that same book on 2 Peter, said, I got to tell you this. You, maybe by your ignorance, maybe by your willful conduct, maybe by your unbelief, you have crucified the Lord. And you will be punished for that. And they said, what shall we do? What shall we do? Repent and be baptized. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what he said. That's what Peter said in Acts 2:38. And then by 2:47, they have everything in common. They were meeting every day. Every day they were meeting to read the scripture and to study. And we find a problem to come here on Wednesday. We find a problem. You see how many we are here? I bet you, if half of you come tonight, I'd be surprised. We have other things to do. So that's what's happening, you know.
We just following what we want to follow. To do, even us as Christians. And I can understand some of you have personal problems. Some of you have to other places to be. I understand that. But nevertheless, you know, things start changing. And we see it right in front of our eyes. And then these people who made this study, the research, they're not doing it for their benefit. They're doing it to what's going on in society. And you can realize and look at this about what other people say about the same subject. So my friends, just like Peter said, what you have to do is repent and be baptized. If any of you have not decided to become a Christian, if you want to decide now, we have the baptistry ready. Baptizing. And the rest of your life as a Christian is required, because there's a lot of souls out there that are lost and they need us to talk to them. Think about that. We stand and sing the song of invitation.